ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Now, we look at the subdivision where it's a character created by the author, by the Kavi, who uses the language in an unusual way to create Dwani. This is in Prakrit, example. Pariputte pariputam jinam, jine jinam, samammi samam, mahabhatiye angam, tuja sinehena goidam va. Or in Sanskrit, paripushte paripushtam, kshine kshine, kshine kshinam, same samam, madhava tasya angam tavasnehena gotitameva. When it is stout, then that becomes stout, and when it's skinny, it becomes skinny, and when it's in the middle, it stays in the middle. O Madhava, the body of Radha is made just of your affection. When your body is stout, her body is stout. When your body is skinny, is emaciated, her body is emaciated. Because her body is made of nothing but her affection for you. Okay, now there is a vastu that's suggested by these words. And that is that she doesn't live by her vital forces. She lives just by your affection for her. That's the vastu that's suggested. And then there's another suggestion made from the second suggestion. From the words that state that her body is made simply of, this is an echo, it's a little too, the volume is a tiny bit too high. That her body is made only of your affection for her. This makes a further suggestion of an alankar, vyatireka alankar, that her body is a lot different than all other bodies, because other bodies are made of physical elements. Her body is made just of your affection for her. That is, yes, that is suggested vyatireka alankar. By making a comparison, it's pointed out that this anga, the body of Radharani, is completely different than all other angas. Because there are plays on the words, there's unusual use of the language that you would not find in ordinary speech, and because it's the special mood and personality of the character that creates that, using the language in such a way that creates the suggestion. Therefore, it is of the third category. It's the unusual use of language by the character created by the poet. Well, we're looking at examples to show all four subcategories. Here we have a vastu suggesting an alankar. So let's have another example. Shruti yugam abhidatte Srila Vrindavane sau tyanudisham iti netva dvandvam Atma viditi quanu bhavasi mahatman bruhi kashta savomi Twad anusaranapanta kashkanta eva brahmanti. O my two ears, you tell me that he is in Vrindavan. O my eyes, my two eyes, you're telling me that he's in all directions, he's everywhere. And O my intelligence, Atma, you're telling me he's in my heart. Well, Krishna, where are you? O great soul, please tell me, because my life heirs are in terrible distress. They're wandering on the path, following you, and they're just aimlessly churning around in my throat. Here there is a gopi with anuraga for Krishna, who's a young girl who's the speaker, and she's using the language in her own way. She, by her clever use of words, she's suggesting a vastu. She's suggesting an idea that the information I'm getting from my senses and from hearing something, that's Shabda Praman, and the reasoning that I'm using, Anuman, all three means of knowing, Shabda, Pratyaksha, Anuman. Although they seem to be contradicting one another completely, still it's all authoritative, all this information. There is no lack of authority in the information I'm receiving. This is what is suggested. And that makes a further suggestion. That you are all-pervading. You're an all-pervading entity. Just like we're reading in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. Krishna is all-pervading. And that implies that, or suggests that, there's an apparent contradiction. She's addressing Krishna, one person, but that one person is everywhere. That's an apparent contradiction. Virodha. So a virodha alankara is the appearance of contradiction where there actually isn't any. Another alankara being suggested by another vastu. The vastu is suggested by the words, and that is that you are all-pervading. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. We got a chain of three. Okay? It is more complicated than just two, but three dvanis in a row. First one is a vastu, that the information I'm getting from my senses and is all authoritative. It must be. Second is that means that you must be all-pervading. And third, does an idea suggesting another idea? And now that second idea is suggesting that you're one person, but you're everywhere. That's an apparent contradiction. That's the suggestion of virodha alankara. Or if you argue philosophically that such things are not actually contradictory in the supreme truth, that he can be, if you've read the Sandarbha, you know that he can be both all-pervading and finite at the same time. So, okay, forget the virodha alankara. Then it's vyatireka alankara again. That's the second suggestion. That, okay, he's very unique. Okay, he can embody contradictory qualities. That makes him completely different than everybody else. So that's vyatireka alankara if you don't like virodha alankara. That's the first half of the verse. Now there's something going on in the second half. There are two separate statements here, two sentences in two halves of the verse. So each sentence can generate its own suggestions. You had a question? Domino?
What you're saying, Vishwanath.
Yeah, and then Vishwanath explains that some may argue that there's no contradiction in Krishna, there's not even, you know, you shouldn't even think there's a contradiction. So therefore, okay, it's not Viroda Lankar, then it's Vyativeka Lankar. We had Vyativeka Lankar in the previous verse, just before this, where it suggested that this thing is completely different than all others of its kind. Krishna is different than all other people. That's Vyativeka Lankar. When you suggest that. Now, in the second half of the verse, the gopi is asking, where are you? And she just doesn't know because she's gotten all this, you know, this apparently contradictory information. So she just asks Krishna, where are you? This is suggestion, a first suggestion in the second half by the words. The first thing suggested is the Sandeha Lankar, the ornament of speech of doubt. Is this a face or is this the moon? That kind of doubt. And we mentioned this morning, actually, Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbha was saying that one sub-variety of Sandeha is when the doubt is resolved at the end of the verse. Here it's not resolved. You know, she's left in doubt. Where are you anyway? And that first suggestion in the second half of the Alankar, Sandeha Alankar, suggests another Alankar. She says, if you don't tell me... Oh, no, she doesn't say it. She implies it. She calls him Mahatma. And what's implied is, if you don't tell me the truth, then you're just a cheat. You're just bewildering me. You're just cheating me. If you don't come out and tell me where you are, that's suggested. But that actually, you can say that's a vastu, it's an idea, but actually more than that, there is another Alankar called Hetu Alankar, where there is an apparent logical argument. You have to tell me, because if you don't tell me, then you're a liar and a cheat. You just set up all these illusions to fool me, and then you won't tell me the truth. So that's the gopi's poetic reasoning. It's called Hetu Alankar. Sort of pseudo-logic. It doesn't really stand up to hard logical rules, but it's the gopi's way of reasoning. Poetic logic. But that's not all. That's a second dwani. That suggests a third one. Because it's further said that these tormented life airs, or my senses, life airs, are just wandering around in my throat. Well, that suggests a vastu. So we got a dwani suggesting, an alankar suggesting an alankar, but the second alankar is suggesting another a vastu. And that is, she says that my life airs are wandering around in my throat. That means they've left their proper places. They've abandoned their proper places. And they don't know where to go. They can't, you know, they're looking, they want to go to you, but they don't have any idea where to go. So they're just wandering around, my life airs are just wandering around in my throat. So I can't figure out, what's implied is the idea. There's no way that I can resolve this doubt and figure out where you are. So please, you tell me, because I can't figure it out for myself. That's the vastu suggested by the second alankar. Alankar, alankar, vastu. Chain of three. So that gives examples in one verse of all four kinds. Vastu suggesting vastu, vastu suggesting alankar, alankar suggesting alankar, and alankar suggesting vastu. All four are exemplified in this one verse.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Well, let me make one more point. At the end here in the vritti, Kavi Karnapur says this was written by my guru, this verse. Most of the examples he wrote himself, but he attributes this one to his guru. Kavi Karnapur? I'm not sure who his guru is. I don't know. Yes, question.
How do you recognize the difference between a vastu and a alankara?
Well, you could, you know, you could always find a vastu, and lankaras sort of embody special ideas, you know. But it's like it's vastu by default. If you can pick out an alankara that's being suggested, then you call it an alankara. If you don't find an alankara, then you just call it a vastu. There's some idea there. Also, an alankara doesn't always involve an idea. It may just be a poetic device that creates a sensation or an impression without saying anything coherent. But when both are involved, when you have both an idea and an alankara, then you call it an alankara. Okay? Because the alankara is a more specific category. There's millions of kinds of ideas, countless different ideas, but there are 63, I think, in his count, different alankaras. So you can put it into a neat category if you call it an alankara. Okay, now that was the 12 kinds of subdivision of suggestion. That's multiple suggestion suggesting another suggestion, where it's founded on, first of all, it's founded on Abhidhamula. That the we're taking the literal meaning of the words. We're not deriving the suggestion from figurative usage, but from literal usage. And in that, we have 12 subdivisions. We have three divisions of whether the suggestion is based on the meaning of a particular word or the meaning in general, even if you substitute a different word, or a combination of both. So we've been looking at 12 kinds of suggestion based on the meaning rather than particular word. Now, if it's going to be based, now we look at Shabd Artha Bhur. Kavi Kanapura and his predecessors don't divide, or he doesn't divide it up into subcategories. There's only one kind. When the suggestion is based on the particular word, then we don't divide it into subcategories. Yes?
Didn't we look at this?
Probably we mentioned this before, yes.
Shabda Shakti Mula, Artha Shakti Mula, and Ubhaya Shakti Mula.
But we didn't have an example of it yet.
Well, now we had an example of Shabda Mula.
Which was?
Examples of Artha Shakti Mula. Shabda Shakti Mula and Artha Shakti Mula. We just covered examples of all of these.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I misread this. It's Shabda Artha Bhur. It's when it's both, there's only one variety.
Oh, so
when it's Shabda Mula, we had two varieties, right? We had the suggestion of a vastu or the suggestion of an alankara.
Yeah.
But when it's both, when it's a combination of both, then we don't divide it up. Because it's complex. We'd have to make hundreds of different divisions to deal with it. Better just leave it undivided. It's already complex. When you're dealing with a verse, some of the words can be substituted and some of the words can't be substituted. Okay? Do you still have a question? Okay. We're looking now at Shabda Artha Bhur, when it's based on both the particular words and general meaning.
So this completes the table that we put on one.
Yeah, we're reaching a partial completion. Then we go into a whole different division after that.
At that time, when we tried to do the table, there's something like it was mentioning 12 divisions.
12 divisions of Artha Bhur.
Artha Bhur. It was even before mentioning the Artha Bhur, it was speaking about 12 divisions.
No, but that was the 12 divisions of Artha Bhur. Okay. We're going to, two paragraphs from now, we're going to get to the actual counting, okay? But why don't we wait until we get to that? So, but in the opinion of some other theoreticians, there's also 12 divisions or several divisions of this kind, Shabda Artha Bhur. But Kavi Karnapur doesn't go along with that. He says, no, only one category. And he says, Eva, in his Karika, to deny the alternative opinion that there's many subdivisions of this. He thinks that if you start dividing things up unnecessarily, then you just get an artificial increase in the number of divisions, and it doesn't serve any good purpose. Okay, now let's have an example. I'll give you two examples, or Kavi Karnapur gives you two examples of verses where the suggestion is based both on particular words and on general meaning. Here's the first example. Ashesha santapaharo janur britanam britam. Let me do that again. Ashesha santapaharo janur britam sadabala kama dam medura dutihi twisham chayair madhava jivana prado. Bhavan bhuvam shamayate guno nabaha. Okay. O Madhava, you, Bhavan, is subject. You are Ashesha Santapaharo, Janur Britam, of those who have taken birth. Janur, Janus is birth. Just like Janma. For those who have taken birth, you remove all distresses. And your effulgence like a cloud. Medura is a word for cloud. Your cloud effulgence, kamada, fulfills or gives or inspires desire. Always. In the young girls, kamada, medra jiti. Well, kamada could be either makes them desireful or fulfills their desires. Your cloud-like effulgence does that, effulgence. And by the twisham chayayar, by the heaps of your luster, O Madhava, you're giving life to them, jivana prado. And you are making the whole world dark blue, just like a dense, just like the dark-colored sky. Just like a cloud, gana, makes the sky dark-colored. You're making the whole world dark-colored with your effulgence. Okay, that's nice, but where are the dvanis there? Any guess? This is what you're actually supposed to do. See a verse and analyze it. Can you see any dvanis? It sounds nice. Nice ideas. But where's the actual soul of poetry here? Where's the life in this poetry? Yes?
I see that.
Which one? Svabhavokti? Well, it's not, just to mention a cloud doesn't make a svabhavokti. So Svabhavokti involves a detailed, lengthy description of nature. When you get into a whole, episode of describing nature, that's Svabhavokti. But here all we do is mention one cloud. Okay. Yeah? Yeah?
Looks like the implication here is Jantur Britam. We're not talking about some ordinary living entities who suffer from material desires, but we're talking about the gopis and his...
Janur Britam?
Yeah.
But that is ordinary, any living entity is Janus Brita, anybody who has life.
Yeah, but I think, I know, what's the response?
Well, the thing is, two things. The first statement is just that Krishna relieves the distress of all living entities. That's for everybody. But then he's increasing the lust in the gopis, especially. There's two different ideas.
Which is the cause of distress generally for living entities.
Yeah. And then what do you make out of that?
So,
It seems like you're unfair to the gopis.
No,
you leave everybody else, but you make them suffer.
Another thing is that what does the increased lust of brilliant sensation is a cloud. The cloud does generally soothe us.
Maybe, but the thing is that word kama da usually would mean bestowing the desires, not increasing lust. So that that is a different idea. Yes.
He says in the beginning that his effulgence was like a cloud. Like fulfills the desires of the gopis.
Yes.
And then she says, "Well, make the world dark by your like a cloud." So she wants to see. She wants to see her effulgence, so she can have her desires fulfilled.
You mean that's a vastu, an idea?
Yeah.
That
your effulgence is blue like a cloud, so make and that effulgence satisfies the desires of gopis. So make the world blue.
The only thing is, it's not a request or an imperative. It's just a present tense. It is making. It's causative. Anyway, what he says, that here, what Vishnu, actually Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains it, that there's not a chain in this case. Because we're out of that category of artabu, now we don't have to have a chain of multiple dwani. There's only one dwani here, and that is upama dwani, metaphor, that Krishna is just like a cloud. That's what's being implied, the comparison of Krishna to a cloud. But the whole thing is describing just like a cloud does these things. You know, the cloud comes and covers the hot, sun, and therefore everyone's relieved of the distress, and fulfills our desires with its it looks very nice and people are pleased with it, and so on. So, it's an extended metaphor, being suggested that Krishna is just like a cloud in various ways, because these words can be read as describing the cloud or as describing Krishna. They're ambiguous intentionally to suggest that comparison, that Krishna is like a cloud. That's all there is going on here. A simple suggestion of upama alankara. Now, of course, there are the other theoreticians who think we can divide up into different categories, but Kavi Karanapur is not interested in that. Can I read the other example? Madvantakrit sumanasam amodair granatarpanaha radhadya parapariyayo Madhava kasya na priyaha. So Madhava is the brings to an end Madhu. And he gives pleasure or satisfaction to the sense of smell with the fragrance of the flowers, the sumanasas. And the Madhu, the Madhava has other names like Radha. Okay, that's what it says. Madhava has other synonymous names like Radha. So, for whom is this Madhava not very dear? Now, what's Madhava? There's a play on words here, a double entendre. What is Madhava? What else? No, that's Madhu. It's a month. It's a month of Vaishakha. And so this can be read both ways, as referring to Krishna or as referring to the month of Vaishakha. Because Krishna killed Madhu demon, but the month of Vaishakha comes right after the month Madhu, the Chaitra month. So the first day of the very first day of Vaishakha, Chaitra is finished. So Vaishakha brings an end to Chaitra month. Sumanas can refer to the gopis. So the Krishna satisfy the ear, sense of smell, by bringing the fragrance of the gopis. And Radhad Apara. I'm sorry, let's look at the month first. The month of Vaishakha ends the month of Madhu. It gives pleasure. The month of Vaishakha gives, that's the month we're in now. No, I guess we're in the third month after that. Anyway, the month of Vaishakha gives satisfaction. We can't be in Chaitra, yeah? Okay. Anyway, the month of Madhava, the second month, gives pleasure or satisfaction to the sense of smell by bringing the fragrance of the flowers. And it has other names, because Radha is another name of the month of Vaishakha. According to the dictionary, it doesn't say which dictionary, Vaishako Madhavo Radha. The same month has all three names. And who, for whom is that month not very dear? Then you can read it about Krishna. Krishna killed the Madhu demon. And he gives pleasure to the sense of smell of the gopis, Sumanasam, the well-disposed gopis. By his fragrance, he's pleasing their sense of smell. And here we have to read Paryaya as different than the ordinary meaning. Ordinarily, Paryaya means synonym, but it can also mean, what does he say here? Radhaya ev adyak pratamak parat shreshta paryaya parisananam anugatir. So he, the very first person that he's inclined to follow is Sri Radha only. So he's, paryaya means following in this case. Adya, the very first person he's inclined to follow is Sri Radha. He's very much inclined to following her, and therefore he's called Radhadya Paryaya. So to whom is that Krishna not very dear? So what's being suggested here? I'm sorry, I'm looking. So one gopi is speaking to her girlfriend. Anybody, any ideas what the suggestion is? I'm looking for Vishwanath's explanation. Oh, again, it's Upama Alankar, comparing Krishna to the month of, implying the comparison of Krishna to the month of spring. The things that the month of spring does, Krishna also does in his own way. So there's shared qualities, several of them, between Krishna and the spring month, Madhava. So it's, again, Upama Alankar being suggested by the Vastu. Just one suggestion, not a chain of suggestions. Now, why is this Shabda Arta or Ubaya Bhu? Because some of the words here, like Vaishakha, the word Madhu and the word Madhava, you can't substitute another word for those. You'd lose the double entendre. If you just say Krishna, then you don't get the play on words, that it's also a month. So the words Madhu and Madhava can't be substituted with other words. But other words here, like grana, you could put some other word for sense of smell and so on. And also the word Radha is also a play on that word, so you can't substitute another word. But some of the words you can substitute that are adding to the suggestion. So it's Ubaya Shakti Bhu. Both Shabda and Arta are contributing to the suggestions here. Well, now, nobody told you, but all these examples so far are examples of suggestion made by the whole sentence. Okay? Vakye ashtadasha da tuime. We have 18 categories that we've covered. And they all occur within, all the examples we've seen are actually examples of the suggestion being made by the combination of the words in the sentence. The whole sentence is making the suggestion. Well, how do we get 18? Well, first of all, we had the avivakshitartha vachya, where it's abhidhamula. And there we divide it into two. When the suggestion is based on the figurative usage, then it's just a division of whether the original meaning, the literal meaning, is completely lost or whether it's eclipsed. That was called artantara sankramita, where the original meaning is still there, but it's overruled or it's eclipsed by the figurative meaning. Or when atyanta tiraskrita, where the original meaning is completely forgotten, the literal meaning. Those are the two divisions of avivakshita vacha or abhita mula 20. Then we got all these divisions of vivakshita vacha, or when the literal meaning creates the suggestion. Now we have 16 of those. Because, okay, we had 12, but that was just 12 artamula, but we had shabdamula and ubayamula. And also, there were three divisions of two divisions, asamlaksha krama vyanga. They're the suggestions that can't be analyzed, like the suggestion of rasa and bhava, which are too complex and too fast to analyze. So that makes one category undivided of asamlaksha krama vyanga, suggestion that can't be analyzed. And we have 15 different kinds of analyzable suggestion, all based on literal meaning, vivakshita vacha arta. There's intention by the author to express the literal meaning. Then we get 18. We get one. Hare Krishna, sorry. 16 or 18? 16. We get one which is unanalyzable, and 15 that are analyzable. The Shabda Shakti Bhu was two varieties. The Arta Shakti Bhu was 12, and the Ubaya Shakti Bhu was 1. That makes 15. 15 plus 1 is 16. And then we had two kinds of suggestion based on metaphor. That's another 2, total 18 kinds. 18 kinds of suggestion that's generated by a whole sentence. You got that? Okay. Vakya eva dvi shaktiyuktaha. Well, among these 18 kinds, one of them, and that's where it's ubaya shakti, it has to be based on a whole sentence. You have to find examples of both substitutable words and unsubstitutable words. You have to be dealing with a whole sentence. Suggestion has to involve not just one word. One word is not going to be both substitutable and unsubstitutable. It's when you have more than one word involved in the suggesting that you can have both substitutable and unsubstitutable suggestion, substitutable words and unsubstitutable. So only when you're dealing with when the suggestion is made by the whole verse, by the whole sentence, do we have that one out of the 18 categories. The other 17 could also be suggested by a single word. We haven't seen this yet. Out of the 18, the 17 of them, except for the Dvishakti Bhu, which is only of one kind, the other 17 of the 18 varieties could be generated by even just one word. Why? So a verse is quoted by the author to give us some trust in this idea that even one word can make a powerful suggestion and bring the poetry up to a very high standard. When an excellent poetry is expressing suggestion, even with just one single word in his verse, then his poetry is splendid. Just like a whole garden is very attractive, even if there's just a single keitiki flower blooming. The rest of the garden may be dull, but just to see that one flower makes it an exciting experience. So even one word in a verse, if it makes a powerful suggestion, can make the poetry excellent. Now, he's only going to give two examples, although he could go into all the 17 divisions, but he's not going to drag it on too long. He'll just give two examples of a single word making the suggestion, and we'll deal with that next time. That's as far as we'll go today. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.